Dad.
You told Dad?
Of course, honey. He likes to hear these things. He said you haven't emailed him lately.
I cringed. He'd sent me a response to my last email, where he'd listed off several alternative name choices I could pick from, and asked what other experiences I'd done off my list that he could tell me he disapproved of. I'd read the email on my phone, meaning to respond once I was in front of my laptop, but I never had. I know, I forgot. At this point, I'm just waiting for his weekly phone call. That's easier. My mom sighed.
Easier does not promote communication.
I'm going to put that on a t-shirt.
Seriously, Abby.
I know, Mom. I'll email him. I headed for the kitchen. I'm going to get some ice cream. Cricket aftertaste isn't great. By the time I had scooped myself a bowl of mint chip ice cream and gone back to the living room, Cooper was sitting on the couch, hair still dripping, and hot pink shirt too small on him. It stretched tight on his biceps and across his chest. I quickly looked away before my grandpa saw me staring.
"Did you eat a cricket too?" Mom asked him.
"Yes, it was flavored, I think."
He tugged at the neck of the shirt. "Salt and pepper," I said.
"Abby is working on number 5 on the list," Grandpa said.
"You know the numbers?" I asked.
"No, it was just a stab in the dark. But I mean the falling in love one."
I had just taken a big bite of ice cream, and I swallowed it too quickly, causing a brain freeze. I hopped around until the pain subsided, then pointed to my grandpa first, and then my mom.
"Cooper, meet the vault. And the safe inside the vault." "I didn't say anything," my mom said.
"Falling in love?"
Cooper asked with a teasing smile.
"Did you meet someone?"
"Nope. We just saw Elliot at the store. Grandpa is overreaching."
"Elliot again?" Cooper asked. "That's twice in 2 weeks. Maybe it's fate."
He emphasized the word I like to use.
"You two should come on a double date with me and Riss."
Grandpa put up his finger.
"Elliot said he was going to a 4th of July party."
"Perfect," Cooper said.
"We can all hang out together there. I'm going to call him."
"You don't have his number."
"I do. I got it on that napkin, remember?"
"Hey, Grandpa, remember that deep tissue massage technique you taught me?"
"Yes."
Cooper has a really bad knot in his neck. "Can you work it out for him?" Grandpa pushed the ottoman that sat in front of him out with his foot.
"Have a seat, my boy. Let's nip that knot in the bud."
I'm going to bed. It probably wasn't even 9 o'clock, but I was annoyed at everyone in the room. I finished off my ice cream and put the bowl in the sink. "Let's all try this again tomorrow." Once in my room, I opened my laptop and typed a quick email to my dad. From the daughter who is bad at emails, to the father who is the master of them. "Sorry. I've been busy growing my heart. It takes work. Let's see. What have I done? I tried out for a play. Not sure what it taught me. Maybe that making a fool of myself is something I excel in? I'm reading 2 classics simultaneously. They are both equally old and mind-stretching. I thought I knew English, but apparently I don't. I watched a sunrise. How come you and Mom have never forced me to do that before? Does this make you horrible parents? It's up for debate. I helped at a soup kitchen. The kids there are so little. It was heartbreaking, but also taught me that I have so much to be thankful for. I also heard that Mom told you about Elliot. That is nothing, so no need for 20 questions about him. I don't think I could even answer 20 questions about him. Maybe 3. And they'd all have to be about how he looks. Speaking of Mom, she went on a walk with us the other day. I paused in my writing, remembering what Grandpa and I had talked about in the grocery store. I wondered if I should put my 2 cents in about Mom and therapy. I shook my head. He didn't need the extra worry. Plus, I wasn't sure I agreed with my Grandpa. We were fine. I typed some final thoughts into the email. She did great. Love you tons. Talk to you soon. Then I sent it off. I turned out the lights, crawled into bed, and listened to Cooper joke and laugh with my family in the other room. Just the sound of his voice made me happy. I sighed. I had been right. Spending all this alone time with Cooper was not helping in the feelings department. Something needed to change. My phone sat on the nightstand, and I picked it up. I wished I could call Rachel. Why hadn't I ever told her how I felt about Cooper? Probably the same reason I played off my feelings as a joke to Cooper when it was obvious he didn't like me back. I didn't want to change the friendship dynamic. Our tight-knit group lacked drama, and I didn't want to be the person to single-handedly change that. I scrolled through my contacts until I stopped on Lacey. I took several deep breaths as I stared at her name. I wasn't one to try too hard with new people. I had my friends, and I was comfortable with them. But I could ride a quad and eat a cricket without the world ending, so why not this? I pushed the button. She answered quickly. Hello? Hi, it's Abby. Abby, hi. I'm so glad you called. I didn't have your info. You were supposed to text me. Yeah, I was going to before the party to get your address. I'm so sorry you didn't make the play. It was more about your lack of experience than anything. Experience? I grunted. That sounds familiar. Are you mad? It's not too late. I got the feeling you didn't want a bit part in the ensemble, but I can make a case for you as trombone player number 5. Oh no, don't worry about that at all. We just tried out as an experience. I really don't have time to commit to a full-on production.
An experience?
Oh no, had I offended her? I'm sorry, we wasted your time by showing up when we weren't planning on following through. She laughed.
No, no worries. What do you mean by an experience, though?
Long story. I'm trying to gain new perspective to help with my painting.
Really?
It sounds weird, I know.
No, not at all. I'm just surprised because I do something similar.
You do? I sat up in my bed.
Yes, me and a few of my friends from drama. We force ourselves into new situations to expand our perspectives. It helps with characterization and things, get us out of our ruts and our normal ways of thinking.
Yes, exactly. A feeling of validation made me smile. Every time I talked to Lacey, she surprised me. It felt like we clicked.
So,
Lacey was quiet for a moment.
If you didn't call about the play or the party, was there something else?
Oh, no. I was just
feeling angsty and needed someone who wasn't Cooper to talk to, and all my friends are in foreign countries.
I couldn't say that. It sounded so self-absorbed.
It was.
How is the play going?
It's going well. I have to take a couple of days off this week for an audition I have in L.A.
An audition for what?
For a movie.
Cool.
I have them all the time, and nothing comes out of them, so I try not to get my hopes up.
A muffled voice on her end said something I couldn't understand, and Lacey said,
I'll be right there.
You have to go, I said.
Yes, it's my little sister. She is supposed to do the dishes before my parents get home, and has somehow convinced me that it's my duty to help her.
She must be very convincing.
She is.
I'll see you at the party.
I'll text you my address.
Thanks. We hung up. I slid back down in my bed until my head hit the pillow. Cooper's laugh rang out from the other room. We force ourselves into new situations. That's what Lacey had said worked for her, too. It seemed to be working for me with my art. Could it also work for me in the getting over Cooper department? I picked up my phone again and found a different contact.
Psst.
The hall light outside my open bedroom door backlit Cooper, who now stood there.
You really went to sleep?
He asked.
It's so early.
I told you I was. He came in and sat on the floor next to my bed.
Your grandpa just killed my neck.
I know. That was kind of the point. By the way, I did it. I asked Elliot out. Cooper's teeth glowed white in my dark room.
You did?
I had. I'd called him and asked if he wanted to go to the party with me, and he'd said yes. I was forcing myself into a new experience, hoping for something to change. I had obviously gone out with guys before. It was just that I hadn't in the last year. I did.
Awesome. This is going to be so fun.
I pulled a pillow against my chest and closed my eyes. How come it sounded like the opposite of that to me? So fun. I must not have said it with the proper amount of enthusiasm, because Cooper quietly said,
You should give him a chance, though. He seems like a really nice guy.
I nodded, my eyes still closed. Okay, I'll give him a chance. Even behind my closed lids, I could feel the whole room light up with Cooper's smile, and my entire being glowed.
Good,
he said. Good, I repeated, pillow tight against my chest. He ran a hand through my hair.
Good night.
When I opened my eyes, he was gone. The door closed behind him. My scalp still tingled from where his fingers had been. Good night, I whispered. 16.
Do you want to meet me at the party, or drive over together?
I had been leaning against the handle of a mop in the museum, staring at a painting of an apple cut in half. Its insides blue. Happy to finally be released from the ticket counter. When the text from Elliot came in, I had kind of assumed that a date meant we were driving over together, but now that he was giving me an option, I couldn't decide what I wanted. The party was happening 5 days from now. I wanted to tell him that I changed my mind, that I did the 4th of July on the pier. I watched the fireworks light sections of the ocean bright blue or green or pink, and I watched those same colors reflected in Cooper's eyes. But that was the problem, wasn't it? I had been doing the same things day after day and year after year and expecting different results. Who had said that was the definition of insanity? Einstein? Whoever it was had seen inside my head. My thumbs were poised, ready to type something back, when Mr. Wallace came down the hall.
Abby, can you take a summer preschool group through the museum Saturday at 4? It was a last-minute request, and all my docents are busy.
Saturday?
Yes. I know you don't normally do tours, but it would really help me out.
Taking a group through the museum was like a dream job for me. Cooper had another race on Saturday. He texted me about it just that morning. It started at 2, though. I just wouldn't be able to celebrate afterward. Yes, I said. I'll be here.
Great. Thank you. Make sure there's a blazer that fits you in the closet.
Mr. Wallace looked at the mop, the painting next to me, then my phone.
Is everything okay?
Yes. I held up my phone. My brain hit pause while it was trying to make a decision. He gave me an agreeable grunt.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, me too. Mr. Wallace started to walk away. I have 2 weeks left, right? I called after him. He turned with a confused face on.
No, the tour will be this Saturday.
Right, I know. I mean, for the showcase. You're informing applicants in 2 weeks, right?
Yes, but I thought we talked about this.
His face had a tired look that seemed to say, This is why I had banished you to the ticket counter, to avoid this conversation. I want a chance. I'm working on my depth.
I can't imagine that in this short of time anything has changed enough in your technique that will affect my decision.
I just want a chance to prove myself. He sighed a heavy sigh, and it was probably only the super pathetic pleading face that I'd put on that made him say,
I'll take a look.
Thank you.
Don't get your hopes up, Abby. You don't meet my age requirement, and you have a lot of really strong competition.
With that, he finished walking away. It was a reluctant yes, but it gave me the hope I needed to continue on my quest. I moved to put the mop back in the bucket when I realized I still held my phone with the open text window. I sent two texts. The first was to Elliot. Let's just meet there. I was already changing something by going to the party in the first place. I didn't want to feel trapped, though. The second text was to Cooper. Hey, I won't be able to celebrate after your race on Saturday. I will be trying to convince four-year-olds that art is more interesting than snack time. I tucked my phone away and dipped the mop into the soapy water. My phone buzzed against my thigh before I even had time to take it out again. I thought it would be Elliot, but it was Cooper.
You can't even convince me that art is more interesting than snack time. How will you ever accomplish this?
Not sure, especially when half the art is replications of food.
But you'll still make the race, right?
For sure.
Thanks.
And I need to finish up my list and two more paintings. Help me think of something else.
I'll ponder it.
Have you finished your classic?
No.
Me neither, I texted.
Okay, I wouldn't want to be stuck in a car with me either.
My brows went down in confusion before I realized I was reading a pop-up text from Elliot. I responded, It's not about that. It's more about not wanting to be trapped at the party.
We can leave anytime you want.
My phone buzzed again before I had time to answer Elliot.
What does epoch of incredulity mean anyway?
Cooper was asking. I vaguely remembered that line from the beginning of A Tale of Two Cities. Did you start over? I gave you the summary. Did you not trust my summary? I switched back to Elliot's text and answered, Okay, I'll drive over with you. Do you have my address? It's what I had originally planned anyway.
No, but if I'm going to read the book, I had to at least read that famous paragraph. I don't do things halfway,
Cooper responded. Except chemistry projects, and English papers, and cleaning your bathroom.
Fine. Things I care about.
I smiled. He cared about the list. That made me happy. Another text from Elliot popped up.
I already know where you live, but I'm not a stalker. My best friend lives on your street, and I saw you pull into your driveway a while back.
Who's your best friend? To Cooper, I wrote. It's a period of skepticism, or disbelief.
You are. Why?
Cooper wrote back less than a second after I had hit send. I am? What did that mean? I was a period of disbelief? I kind of felt like I was going through a bit of skepticism right now in regard to him, but he couldn't possibly know that. I looked at the text again. Oops, I'd crossed texts.
No, really, he does. Ben Williams? Do you know him?
Elliot responded to my skepticism text. I sent you the wrong text. That was meant for someone else, I wrote to both of them. Elliot answered first.
Oh, that makes more sense. So I'll see you Tuesday then. 8 o'clock?
Sounds good. Cooper responded a few minutes later.
Who was it meant for?
Elliot.
Why are you asking Elliot who his best friend is?
Because I want to know if he's looking for one. I'm searching for a replacement.
Funny.
I thought so. Gotta run. This floor isn't going to mop itself.
You're mopping floors? You're out of ticket purgatory?
Yes. So happy.
You're the only person I know who is happy to mop.
Shh. Art.
BTW, good job on texting Elliot.
Yeah. When my shift was over, I made my way up the wide stairs, with the glass half-wall railing, and walked the hall slowly. trying to figure out which paintings and pieces to show the children I'd bring through on Saturday. We changed out the art all the time. There were very few pieces that were permanently housed here. It's what brought patrons back time and again. New artists to see. But there was a permanent one that was always a hit with the kids. Mr. Wallace had hired a paper artist to come and create a flowing, swirling design made of paper that covered an entire corner of the upstairs hallway. It was three-dimensional and mesmerizing. That was a must-see. We'd just gotten a modern art piece on loan, and I hadn't had time to look at it until today. The kids might appreciate the bright colors and strong lines of the painting. We'd done an art workshop last summer, and I discovered that kids loved to paint with bright colors. Remembering those kids' paintings, I had an idea. I ran down the stairs and searched out Mr. Wallace. I stopped in front of him, breathless. Could we display some of the kids' art?
What kids?
The preschool group that's coming through. Can we contact the teacher and ask her to bring by some of their drawings or paintings before Saturday? And I could hang them upstairs. I think it would be fun for them.
You'll come in early and do that?
Yes, I will.
The children would probably like that.
Of course they would. Everyone likes to see their own art displayed. I hadn't meant to say that with a hard edge to my voice, but I did, and he noticed. I quickly finished, softer this time, with, "I'd love to do that for them." He nodded.
Good idea, Abby.
Thank you. Perhaps it was seeing those kids at the soup kitchen that made me think of it. Or maybe it was just that forcing myself to think differently was creating new ideas in other areas of my life, too. Either way, I was happy I'd come up with it. My phone buzzed in my pocket with an incoming call as I headed for the door. I waited until I was outside before I answered it. A breeze played with my hair and brought with it the scent of the ocean. Hello? Instead of walking to my car, I took the path around the side of the building to the overlook. Two benches sat on the bluff, with a perfect view of the ocean below. Abby! Said a voice that sounded distant, but excited. Hi?
It's Rachel. I found a payphone. Austria has payphones.
I sat down on the bench. Rachel! It is so good to hear your voice. I miss you.
Remember how I wondered if I'd love living without my phone? She sighed. I don't. Not at all. Thank goodness my parents weren't right.
I laughed. Tell me everything.
Aside from the phone thing, it's been pretty amazing, actually. You and your artist brain would absolutely love it. It's gorgeous, and there is so much art everywhere. Old buildings and history and culture.
Have you been to Italy yet to find your cute Italian boy to make out with?
Italy was first, but it's hard to make out in front of constantly hovering parents. There were lots of really hot Italian boys, though, so flirting was accomplished. We need to come back here after we graduate, the four of us.
Four?
Have we shrunk since I've been gone? Or expanded?
Oh, right. Cooper and Justin.
Oh, no. I've been gone too long. Everything has changed.
No, it hasn't. We're good. The four amigos.
Did you really just say that? You've been hanging out with your grandpa too much this summer, haven't you? I can't leave you ever again.
So true. I miss you, I said.
You too. So, seriously, anything new happening there?
Nope. Just art stuff.
Any word from Justin?
He sends pics occasionally. I think he sends more to Cooper.
Send him a text from me, will you? Tell him, this is an equal friendship circle. We all get the same things or no things. Don't be the cause of our demise. Wow, so dramatic. He'll think it's funny. Plus, it's true.
So if we all get the same things, does this mean you're calling Cooper next? She growled.
You're right. I guess I do need to call him.
Do you want me to add something to your Justin text, like, I miss you, or I hope your work on the schoolhouse for the disadvantaged is going well? She let out a single laugh.
Yes. Add, thank you for fulfilling the quota of good deeds required per friend group all by yourself. I will send it immediately. I have to go. My parents were standing by a bakery of some sort across the street and waving at me with both hands. People are starting to gather around them, as if they need help. And if I have to call Cooper now, I don't have much time.
Okay. Tell Cooper I said hi.
Okay. Wait, why? You're still talking to Cooper, right?
Yes, of course. She took a relieved breath.
Okay, good. I'll try to find another time to call you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
A loud click sounded in my ear and the line went dead. I smiled. That's what I was missing, my complete group of friends. I couldn't wait for her to get home. With Rachel gone for the last month, I had forgotten why I had never told her about my feelings for Cooper. Now I remembered, and I was glad, once again, that I hadn't. We all had the perfect dynamic, and everything would be back to perfect when they got home. I sent off Rachel's message to Justin and left. 17. My mom is going to get mad at you for bringing McDonald's into our house, I said, as I held Cooper's bag in my lap the next day, the heat from the fries warming my bare legs. I tried to tug down my shorts, but it didn't help.
I know. That woman watches entirely too many documentaries. She needs to live in blissful ignorance, like the rest of us.
Do you think that's part of the problem? She watches too many shows and reads too many articles and books about the dangers of the world?
I don't know. Maybe. She seems to worry about the stuff she reads and hears more than most people.
I know. Maybe it would make things better if she'd just stay off the internet and away from nonfiction books. Maybe I could suggest that to my grandpa. Then we wouldn't have to take the dramatic step of a therapist. I think she takes everything she learns, then frets about it until it turns into an irrational fear. The car slowed, and Cooper squinted out the windshield. I followed his gaze to the right, where a big tree stood in the middle of an otherwise empty field. A man was leaning against the tree. No, not leaning. He was chained to it. "Stop the car," I said to Cooper. He pulled to a stop along the curb, and I rolled down my window. "Sir, are you okay?" The man's gaze had been on the dirt in front of him, and with my yell, he looked up. "You weren't assaulted by chain-wielding thieves, were you?" I asked. Cooper laughed from beside me.
"No,"
he yelled back.
"I've done this to myself."
"On purpose?" His smile widened.
"A housing development is going in this field, and they want to rip out this tree."
"Oh, I see. You're protecting it."
"Yes."
"Good luck." He lifted his hand in a wave, and Cooper drove away.
"Would you rather live in treetops forever, or in water?" Cooper asked.
"Water world for sure. If I can breathe underwater." "Can I breathe underwater?"
"Sure, but then we need an adaptation for the treetops, too. What would that adaptation be?"
"Monkey arms?"
"I can see why you'd choose mermaid if the alternative is monkey."
I smiled and stole one of his fries. His face went serious.
"Don't eat my fries, Abby. You said you didn't want any fries, and I said, you're going to steal mine if you don't get your own, and you said, no, I won't."
"Are you reenacting a conversation that happened 5 minutes ago?"
"Yes, because you seem to have forgotten it."
"It's my charge for holding your greasy bag." He snatched the bag off my lap and put it on his left leg as he drove. "You're no fun," I said.
"I am the most fun."
He took a fry out of the bag and ate it. "Speaking of, did you talk to Rachel yesterday?"
"Yes, But why is that speaking of? Are you trying to claim Rachel is the most fun?
No, I am the most fun. It was speaking of because it sounded like she was having fun.
Yes, she sounded good. Did she tell you about the Four Amigo Europe trip for next summer after we graduate?
Did she call it that? The Four Amigo? She made fun of me for saying that. He laughed.
Our end-of-summer reunion with them is going to be awesome.
When we got to my house, I made sure I put some space between myself and Cooper and his bag of poison.
I see how you are. You'll eat it in the car, but won't admit it to your mom.
I know where my loyalties lie. But my mom didn't say anything. She just eyed his bag once when we walked in, then asked what we were up to. We are going to go finish our classic so we can finally check that item off the list.
But first, I'm going to fill my stomach with garbage, Mrs. Turner, and I will need to walk it off. You want to go on a walk with us in 10 minutes?
His offer surprised me. We hadn't talked about doing that. He just knew I was worried about her. I think I do, Cooper. He stuck a fry in his mouth, and when my mom went back to her book, I mouthed, "Thank you." He winked at me. After we made it to the park and back with zero resistance from my mom, she insisted on showing Cooper my now-finished sunrise painting, like it was a priceless masterpiece. Maybe this was part of my problem. The people around me thought my paintings were much better than they were. They'd given me false confidence all these years. Against the sidewall, with soft cotton covering draped over them, were the spotlight and quad paintings. I thought about showing off those, too, but I didn't. I'd save some surprises for them to see if I made it into the show. After the sunrise painting was thoroughly analyzed, Cooper and I went to my room.
That painting is really good, Abs.
Thanks.
Why do you sound like you don't believe me?
Because Mr. Wallace said he was willing to take a second look at my paintings, and I feel like they have to be 100 times better than the last ones he saw. I don't know if they're there yet. I threw him his book, which he'd left on my desk when he first arrived at my house before our fast food run. And I pulled mine out of the top drawer of my nightstand and settled onto my bed. If I could finish this book today, then I wouldn't have to worry about checking off another item for a couple of days. I just need to finish the list.
The magical list.
Cooper made his way over to it and studied it for several minutes.
Why did you already check off, "Have your heart broken?"
My heart seemed to stop in my chest with that question. We had successfully avoided this subject for a year. Did I really want to bring it up now? I kept my gaze steady on him, even though I wanted to look away. Because I have. Cooper's eyes shot to the ground, then met mine again. He knew.
Why did you write it on here to begin with, then?
He asked softly. I don't know, I said. Since I'd already accomplished it, I wrote it down. I wanted to feel like I had at least a little depth, I guess. He nodded slowly. We were going to move past this quickly. Continue to ignore what had happened a year ago, I could tell. I could linger. Say something. But I'd already done that once. If his feelings were different than they had been a year ago, it was his turn to put them out there. What about you? Can you check, have your heart broken, off your list? I honestly didn't know the answer to that question. I'd been a witness to pretty much all of his relationships, but I had no idea if he'd ever truly been in love with a girl before. He'd never told me he had, so I assumed he hadn't.
No, I can't, he said.
I was surprised by the relief that coursed through my body. He jumped onto my bed next to me, back first, and opened his book. My phone buzzed with a new email. I pulled it up. Nobody emailed me except my dad, so I wasn't surprised to see his name in my inbox.
Your dad?
Cooper asked, peering over the top of his book at me. Yeah. I read the email to myself.
To my daughter, who is better than any of my other daughters at emailing me. From her dad, who couldn't get to a computer for a few days. Why haven't I made you watch the sunrise before? Have you ever tried waking yourself up at 5 a.m.? That's your answer.
I'm glad I don't have to ask 20 questions about Elliot, because I can't think of 20 questions to ask.
Well, except tell me his last name so I can run a background check. What about that other boy in your life? What's his name? Your mom says he still comes around a lot. I hope he's treating you nice. We're going to be busy here for the next couple of weeks moving locations. Sorry in advance if I can't email / call as often as normal. It sounds like you're keeping yourself busy with your list. Make sure you update me. I like to hear about your adventures.
I smiled and pointed to my desk, which was closer to Cooper. Can you hand me my laptop? He reached over and grabbed it, then set it on my legs.
What's the news from your dad?
Not much. He doesn't really tell me a lot of what's happening over there in email for security reasons, so it's mostly just him asking me about me.
Does your dad like me? I can never tell when he's home.
My dad likes you.
Good, because he's a little scary.
I laughed. He's harmless. I opened my laptop and typed a response, hoping he'd get it before they had to move their camp. From your only daughter, who, if she found out others existed, would fight them to the death to maintain that title. Ha, ha. Two laughs. One for the background check idea, and one for you pretending not to know Cooper's name. Thanks for those. You know I like to laugh. As for an update, I'm crawling my way through Crime and Punishment and nearing the end. I tried dried crickets. I don't recommend them, but they do taste decent with ice cream. Mr. Wallace is having me take a preschool group through the museum on Saturday, so that should be fun. And I decided to go on a date with Elliot, no last name. I'm only telling you because I know Mom will. It's not a big deal. Also, be safe. XOXO. Before I closed my laptop, I clicked on a saved tab at the top of the screen.
You know,
Cooper said, when the new page came up,
you could actually just send in an application instead of staring at that page every time you get on the computer or your phone.
I will. I'm waiting to see how the showcase plays out, though. I need a sale. Cooper jammed his finger onto my screen.
Recommended requirements. Last I checked, the word recommended meant optional.
Lots of people apply for the winter program. I want to give myself every advantage.
Stalling,
Cooper coughed out. I am not.
We should finish the list so you can show Mr. Wallace your paintings and have no more excuses.
I ignored his jab this time and said, you're right. Let's do one of the try something new items, since we have a couple of those left to do. And saying that out loud reminded me of something. Did you ever take Iris to that underground garden? That would count for you.
No, she didn't want to do that. We ended up at the movie on the beach.
Hey, the beach movie is our thing.
I know, I'm sorry. She didn't want to go to the gardens.
I swallowed down my hurt. What kind of monster are you going out with? He smacked me on the shoulder once with his book, then opened it. I opened my book as well. Then let my left hand fall against his right arm and rest there. When he took twice as long to turn the page of his book one-handed, rather than move his arm, I smiled. But, like always, didn't let myself read into it too much. Cooper left close to 10, and I went to Mom's room where she was hanging clothes. Hey, I said, I have a complaint to file.
Listening, she said.
How come when Cooper and Dad are around, you have no problem walking to the park? But when it's just us, you can't. She paused with a shirt halfway on its hanger and scrunched up her nose.
I go out a lot with just you.
But more when they are here.
I don't know. They both have a relaxed way about them. It rubs off on me, I guess.
But I don't?
You do, hon.
I crossed my arms. Apparently, I'm not the only one attached to Cooper.
He is a nice boy. I have no issues with him, aside from the fact that he likes to drag my daughter's heart around.
I'm the one attaching my heart to his leash. She gave me a thin-lipped smile, but didn't argue. I'm working on it, I said.
That's good.
I watched her add more shirts to hangers and stack them on her bed. I was constantly trying to downplay the fact that Mom didn't go anywhere to Grandpa and Cooper and Dad, convince them that she could have a fulfilling life without venturing beyond the four walls of our house, that it wasn't a big deal. And maybe it wasn't. But I was beginning to realize that sometimes it wasn't about her. If I were being honest with myself, I knew that sometimes it was about me. I could remember only a handful of my events she'd attended in the past, and only because my dad was there.
What?
She asked, when she noticed me still standing there. I sighed and lowered myself onto her bed. Mom? She turned, giving me her full attention. I played with a hanger on the stack of clothes, nervous about what I was about to say. If I complete this list, and somehow gain a depth of emotion that makes me paint like Picasso, will you come to the gallery to see my paintings on display? She hesitated, and disappointment hovered around me. I should have just dropped it, said never mind. But that painting I'd done with her just outside the spotlight, watching me audition, gave me a vision of what it could be like seeing her at the art show. So I pushed on. Dad can't come, being gone and all, but Cooper will be there, and Grandpa. It will be like having your own bubble of protection. You'll be surrounded by familiar, relaxed people. She pressed her lips together, and I could see the tension on her face. But she said, "Yes, honey, I would love to see your display." Promise? Yes. I smiled big and jumped up to give her a hug. Now I just have to get Mr. Wallace to let me in the show. He will, my brilliant daughter, she said, rubbing my back. He will. 18. There's this place downtown where you can sit with your feet in water and little fish come and eat the dead skin off your toes.
And you're telling me this why?
Cooper responded. The list! Trying something new! I needed a new painting stat, and I couldn't think of anything. It was time to force myself to think way outside the box.
My sister has a goldfish. You can stick your foot in its bowl if this sounds like fun to you.
Nope. Fish spa.
Sounds lame.
I don't hear you coming up with any ideas.
My brain is still thinking.
Well, I'm going to try this anyway, with or without you. I still have 3 more new things to try, right?
Without me.
Are you scared of fish? Wouldn't I know this if he were? But I didn't know. Maybe I'd found his fear and I'd force him to do this with me.
No, I'm not.
Come with me, you punk.
Race today. Must mentally prepare myself to be even more awesome than I already am.
Fine.
I'll see you at my race.
I'm going to the fish spa, I declared as I entered the living room. Grandpa and Mom were sitting on the couch. Grandpa had the television on. Mom had her laptop open. Who's coming with me? Fish spa? Mom asked. Little fish eat the dead skin off your feet.
Fish? Can't you just use a loofah? She asked.
It's an experience.
Won't you catch some sort of infection?
Mom held up her foot and wiggled her bare toes.
I don't think so.
Grandpa stood.
I'll go.
Mom? She was typing into the computer in a way that made me worried she was looking up the safety of fish spas.
No, thank you. I'm writing an email to your father.
Tell him I said hi, and tell him about the fish. She nodded without looking up.
I will.
Grandpa and I sat on the tile edge of the long, trough-like pool of shallow water. The place didn't smell like fish. It smelled like incense. And chlorine from the hot tub we had passed on our way to this room. In the water, Grandpa's feet were surrounded by fish. You must have more dead skin because you're old, I said. My feet were unadorned.
I am the perfect age, he said.
The perfect age for fish. He ruffled my hair.
The water was a little colder than room temperature, and the coolness felt like it was traveling up my legs. What's it feel like? I asked.
It tickles.
Come here, little fish, I said, inching my left foot closer to Grandpa's right. A single fish, appearing warped from the movement of the water, worked its way over to me. My shoulders tensed as it got closer, and just as it was about to nibble, I let out a yelp and yanked my feet out of the water. Grandpa laughed.
What's this? Scared?
No, it just surprised me.
It surprised you? You watched it the entire time.
Okay, fine. I saw it coming, but it scared me when it finally got close. He nodded toward my still raised legs.
Try again. You can do it.
They were just fish. Little ones at that. I took a deep breath and slowly put my feet back in. The single fish that had braved the trip to my feet before had left, so now I had to wait once again. It was the waiting that was the most nerve-wracking. The waiting and watching the impending approach. This time I kept my feet in. This time I felt the slight tickle of the fish as it made contact over and over again. That doesn't hurt at all, I said.
I told you it wouldn't.
I thought you were bending the truth. This is when I thought Grandpa would be offended, or at least fake offense, that I had suggested he would lie to me. But he just shook his head a little and smiled. I stared at the fish for a long time before saying, I asked Mom to come to my art show last night. I mean, if I end up getting in the show.
You did?
He asked. She didn't tell you? That worried me. They talked about everything.
Maybe it slipped her mind.
I wiggled my toes a little, but the fish stayed put. Do you think she'll come?
I'll come.
He smiled over at me. You don't think she'll come?
I think she'll try very hard.
More fish surrounded my feet now. She promised. And when she promises, she always follows through.
You're right. She does.
Grandpa and I had hit traffic on the way home from the spa, and I barely made Cooper's race for the second time. I found his family and was surprised to see an addition to the little group. Iris. At least, it looked like the girl I remembered seeing once, briefly. She was cuter than I remembered. Her brown hair was pulled up into a high ponytail, and she was holding a sign with Cooper's name on it. I lowered my sign to my side and finished my walk a little slower. Hey, I said when I reached them. Amelia hopped up and down, then gave me a hug.
I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. I haven't been to your house lately. Sorry.
Have you met Iris? Mrs. Wells asked.
No,
Iris said at the same time I said, yes.
We have?
She asked. I was at the movie night on the beach a few weeks ago.
Was that you?
She stuck out her hand,
Nice to meet you.
You too. I shook her extended hand. I'm Abby.
Are you friends with Cooper? She asked.
She didn't know I was friends with Cooper? He'd never mentioned me? I tilted my head, studying her expression. She looked completely serious. They really hadn't hung out that much. I guess I shouldn't have been surprised.
Yes, I am.
She nodded with a smile.
Looks like they're starting, Mr. Wells said.
Oh!
Iris turned her attention back to the course.
This is so exciting.
Have you never watched a race on the dunes before?
No, this is my first time.
Did you grow up here?
No, we moved here 2 years ago from Ohio.
Wait, do you go to Pacific High? I'd never seen her around school before, but I didn't know everyone. I was middle of the road popularity-wise.
No, I go to Dalton Academy, she said.
Dalton was the private school right on the beach. It had marine biology classes, and surfing could replace normal PE.
Oh, cool. Do you like it? It's amazing.
The man holding the red flag lowered it, and the drivers were off.
Which one is Cooper?
Iris asked. I pointed. The bright green helmet. She stood up on her tiptoes and let out a squeal. Cooper took a jump and landed front tires first, his back tires airborne for a few seconds longer. Iris gasped from beside me. Don't worry, I said, sensing the anxiety that I knew so well. He was born on the dunes. She laughed.
That's what he said.
Right. Of course he would tell her that, too. This wasn't the first time a girl had shown up to watch Cooper, but seeing her there, so comfortable with his family, so excited about his race, this was the first time I felt like I was the outsider, the one who didn't belong here. Cooper finished in first, like he always did, and Iris went wild, causing Mr. and Mrs. Wells to smile. I glanced at my phone. I needed to shower and get a little more professional for the museum tour. Plus, I still had the drawings the preschool teacher had brought in to hang. But I had over an hour, so I could stay and at least say hi to Cooper. Maybe his presence would make things feel normal again. We all walked to the trailer where he would meet us.
That was fun. He's good, Iris said, falling in step beside me as we walked.
Yes, he is. Fearless. Cooper was already at the trailer, helmet off, when we got there. The first thing he did was give Iris a hug.
I like your sign.
She let out a happy yelp.
Did you meet Abby?
He asked.
Yes, we met, Iris said.
I waited for her to say something like, why have you never told me about Abby before? But she didn't. I waited for him to say something like, she's my best friend in the world. But he didn't.
Are we going out to celebrate? Mrs. Wells asked.
I have to run, but have fun, I said.
Where are you going? Cooper asked me. You don't want to celebrate?
I have that museum preschool group thing, remember?
Oh, right.
He gave me a side hug. I pushed him away a little.
Ew, you're sweaty.
He laughed.
It's hot. And this is winter glow.
Congrats on your win. I'll see you later?
Yes, for sure.
I said bye to everyone else and left with only one backward glance. It wasn't a good move on my part, because all I saw was Cooper giving Iris another hug and his family all smiles.
Are you a painter?
It was the second time the little girl had asked me that question. I had led the group and their parents through over half of the museum at a faster rate than I would have in an older group. I was surprised their attention spans had lasted this long. This was the first tour I had personally led, but I'd watched what felt like 1,000. I didn't think I'd be this excited to lead one, but I was enjoying opening their eyes to art, even if they weren't quite getting it. A little boy in the back of the group headbutted his mom's leg over and over, I sensed I was seconds from losing them. But this little girl, the one in the front, with big brown eyes and pigtails, was paying attention. And apparently, she knew a non-answer when she heard one, because she didn't accept my "I like art" answer. "Yes, I paint."
"Show us your painting here," she said.
I straightened the museum blazer I wore. "I don't have a painting here. These are famous artists on display. And once a year, we have an art show with amateur art that people can buy."
"So that's when we can see your paintings?"
"Maybe." I clapped my hands together. "But right now, I'm going to show you some really famous works of art." I was deflecting a 4-year-old's question. How pathetic was I? I led the kids down the hall and into the room where I had hung all their drawings, lower on the wall than the other paintings so they could see easier. I'd even rearranged some spotlights to highlight them. This focused the previously restless group. I spoke in an official tour guide voice and said, "Art from the Schoolhouse Preschool is on display today. This is a rare exhibit that we've never had before, so it's extra special." The kids pointed out their drawings with loud voices. Even the parents and teacher seemed more animated than they had been until then. I noticed Mr. Wallace in the back. He gave me a thumbs up. As the group filed out, Mr. Wallace walked with them, talking to the teacher as he went. I began taking the drawings down one by one. The skill level of the 4-year-olds was more or less the same. They could draw circles with eyes on them and sticks for legs and arms. They could draw a sun or a rough tree. But there was one drawing that was quite good, that was well above the skill level of the others. This was how I'd been with my art at a young age, ahead of the curve. This was what prompted my parents to put me in classes. Feet scuffing along tile caught my attention, and I looked up. Cooper's smile greeted me. "You're here," I said, both surprised and happy.
"Do you know how tempted I was to sneak up and scare you? What had your undivided attention?"
I held up the drawing I'd been looking at. It was a girl standing under a rainbow. It was obvious it was a girl. She had more than just a circle head. She had arms and legs and a body. She wore a purple dress.
"Cute," he said. "Did you draw that?"
"Funny. No, a 4-year-old drew this."
"Is Mr. Wallace putting it in the show?"
His voice was sarcastic.
"Shh," I hissed. "Don't say stuff like that here. He's everywhere."
I looked around, but the room was empty.
"Maybe I should say stuff like that here. Maybe it will make him think."
I sighed and pulled down the remaining drawings.
"I'm sorry. I'm sorry," he said. "What was I supposed to notice about the 4-year-old's drawing?"
"Probably nothing. This child's picture may have been ahead of the curve now, but everyone would catch up with her soon enough." I stacked the papers together and looked up at him. "I thought you were out with your family."
"We just grabbed dessert this time, so we're done. And I have something for you."
"Okay."
"We were leaving the Cheesecake Factory, and they had one more piece of white chocolate raspberry left. One! And I thought, it's fate, or whatever you like to call it."
He brought the white bag with colorful stripes out from behind his back. "You're the best."
"I know. Now come on, let's go sit on the overlook so you can share that with me."
That night, I went home and set up a small canvas. I painted a fish. At first, I painted it realistic, as if viewing it underwater. But I realized it didn't feel right. How I'd been feeling at the spa, how I'd felt at Cooper's race that day, didn't match up with what I'd created. I changed the painting. I made the fish warped, bent at a weird angle, its parts not aligned quite right. I made the water around it choppy,
almost murky,
unclear. I stepped back and studied the final product.